Here with me I have Michael Shaw, and Michael is with the Energy Information Administration, part of the U.S. Department of Energy. And here at this Global Trade and Policy Issues Forum, your comments focused on the 2009 global energy outlook. What were some of those main points you made here?
Well, given that what we were looking at is trends through 2030, among our major points were that non-OECD, or the less developed countries of the world, or developing countries of the world, were going to significantly expand their consumption of energy, and with increasing GDP and population as part of that mix, that would involve, in addition, the buying of many motor vehicles, with driving liquid fuels production, as well as consumption. Now, given the distribution of oil reserves throughout the world versus consumption, what that meant was that with the combination of OPEC and non-OPEC crude oil production, along with trends in unconventional liquids production, which includes oil sands from Canada, gas to liquids production, coal to liquids production, as well as biofuels production, there's an equilibrium mix of supply to meet future demand. Now, one of our key uncertainties, which has often been echoed in this presentation this morning, has been that oil price and the effects of oil prices. And really, what happens under low world oil prices, say about a $50 per barrel level, at those levels, we have increasing world oil consumption of liquid fuels. However, the price of oil is so low that the production of biofuels to meet that demand is relatively low. On the other hand, at high world oil prices, the opposite is true. We have a decrease in the consumption of liquid products, as well as an increase in the amount that comes from unconventional liquids production, including biofuels.
Well, you used that U word, the uncertainty there, and I know there's a lot, but as you look forward, you know, you can kind of, like you said, see where you think population growth is occurring and all. How do you feel about the sort of near term, maybe out at least a couple years from here, what's going to happen with the incentive and the growth in alternative energy sources, whether that's, you know, in liquid fuels or other forms?
Well, there's no doubt that at current oil prices, that these are times for struggle for those that are producing alternative energy sources that are priced relative to oil. The United States does have a renewable fuel standard mandate, however, that in combination with a market mechanism to equilibrate prices will require the production and consumption of a certain amount of these biofuels, including corn ethanol.
So with you know, the uncertainty of where oil prices may go in the near term, how would you feel about the necessity to have those kinds of policies like the RFS here, or the EU has their sort of version of how they want to have a certain percentage of fuel come from alternative sources? Do you see that as still really being kind of a key force in the growth and development of renewable fuels?
Well, EIA does not advocate any particular policy. We observe what is going on in other countries, and it does seem to be the case that as the cost of implementing a program increases, there becomes an increasing will to not continue that particular policy, but that's often hard to predict in its own right, and it's not something that we would necessarily comment on. We'd be asked to look at what the results would be for adopting, a different renewable fuel standard, but we wouldn't be able to comment on what an optimal policy might look like.
I understand that very well. Well, thank you very much. That's Michael Shaw, who is one of the speakers here at the Transition to a Bioeconomy Conference, this one focusing on global trade and policy issues, especially focusing in on biofuels. I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.